Among other things, the internet gives us a place where we can go with our questions. And of course, the internet allows for complete anonymity, which is problematic sometimes, but at other times allows people to go out there without exposing or identifying themselves. There is, for example, a site called Yahoo Answers. Yahoo Answers. And you can ask anything there. Just put it out and wait for replies. Problem with such sites, of course, is that there is no expert waiting at the end to answer. Just anybody can answer. I chanced upon that site just earlier this week, and there was a question that had been posted on it from someone called Natasha. Wasn't you, Tash, was it, by any chance? Well, I don't know if she's gone through next door at the moment. Who is this person, Natasha? Where does she come from? What is her life all about? Is she even called Natasha, or has she just used that name as a cover? Either way, here is her question. I wonder if it's just hers, or if in fact it's a question that many find themselves asking, at least at some point in their lives. Here's what Natasha says. I just don't get it. Why do I exist? Why am I here? In this world, at this time and age. That's a profound question, isn't it? You'll find on that website a lot of much more trivial questions. Where can I buy such and such or whatever? But this is deep. Why am I here? It's the complementary question to the one that we posed last week. Who am I? The who am I question is to do with identity. When we look in the mirror, and when all else is stripped away, who am I? We answered that question last week, how we might answer it as Christians, and said that we find our identity in Christ. So the who am I question is a critical one, but equally so, this one that we're asking today. Why am I here? What's the point of my life? Is there any purpose to my life? Now, interestingly, on Yahoo Answers, one of the respondents who declared himself to be a scientist, he said that there is no purpose to your life. You exist. That was his answer. You exist. But you cannot talk of any purpose to your life. How would that make you feel? To think that there was no point to you being here. No purpose to your life. What would get you up in the morning if there was no point to you? Paul offers us an answer. Paul offers us the answer. The point of our lives. The purpose of our lives. In our union with Christ Jesus, and of course that phrase takes us back to last week. Who am I? I am in Christ. I am united to Christ. This is who I am. This is my identity. So in that identity, in my union with Christ, God has created us. for a life of good deeds. I keep meeting people, sincere Christians, who it seems to me are always asking, are always looking for more complicated answers than the answers the Bible often provides us with. What's the point of my life? Why am I here? God has created you for a life of good deeds. That's the point. Which is why we stress and stress again that the gathering for worship is only the beginning of the Christian life. The rest of it takes place when we leave and go into the world. God has prepared for you and me a life of good deeds, already prepared for us to do. How does that make you feel, I wonder? Before we dig a little more deeply into that particular phrase, let's just back up a moment and check out one or two of the other things that Paul said in the lead up to this phrase. First of all, he began by speaking about all people. He said, we all once were in this state, some people still are, but all of us were once there, when we were following the way of the world. The way of the world. I put it to you that there are options when it comes to how you will live your life. The way of the world takes no heed to what we find in Scripture. Takes no heed really of godly morality. The way of the world today is very much do what you please. Whatever you want. If it makes you happy, just go ahead. You see, folks, the way of the world is essentially the way of self. And Paul says, there was a time when all of us were following the way of the world. And living that way is to put yourself first. And Paul says, there's another way. There's another way. The way of the world is evident all around us. You see, I don't believe that God created us to live that way, essentially selfishly, but we are fallen and broken and flawed people the world over. And so our instincts are less than God intended them to be, and the result of that is that deep down and at the most essential level, self is what comes first. I put it to you that every act of kindness, every act of compassion, every reaching out to other people is a battle against the rule of self in your life. And continually, that's what we're being drawn to put ourselves first. And daily, we must decide and go against it. It's the way of the world. Hey, it's also a free world. So go on, go and live as you will. Choose your way. Will you live by the way of the world? Enthroning yourself, putting yourself on your own desires and needs and likes first. Or will you turn your back on the way of the world and follow after Christ? Paul goes on to encapsulate in this snippet, essentially, what the gospel is, the great Christian truth He says, it is by grace that you have been saved, not by works. Now, this is really important that we get this clear, because when we start to speak about good deeds and good works as we are today, when we start to say that God has created us for a life of good deeds, we need to be really, really careful that we do not misunderstand. That's why I think Paul prefaces that with this sentence: it is by grace that you have been saved, not by works. So just to spell that out for us, this life of good deeds that we are called to, no matter how many good deeds you carry out in your life, that will not bring you into relationship with God. That will not save you, to use Paul's phrase. We are not saved by good deeds. Here's what we are. We are saved for good deeds. We are saved for good works. We are saved that we might go into the world and make a difference. That we are saved, that we are united with Christ, is all God's doing. We have no part in that. That is all His work. His reaching out to us, His sending Jesus into the world, Christ's willing death and rising again. It's by Christ that we are saved. What is this saved? Saved from being apart from God. That is the fate, if I can put it that way, of humanity. In our fallenness, we are apart from God. There is a gulf between ourselves and the Almighty. And that is now and forever. And there is nothing we ourselves can do about it. But we are saved from that fate. We are saved from being apart from God by Christ on the cross. Not by anything that you have done or can do. You're saved to be at one with God. And then to live out this life of faith, the life of good deeds which God has created us for. We repeat it. In our union with Christ Jesus, God has created us for a life of good deeds. This is what I love about the Christian faith. You can't escape from it and from the demands that it makes upon you. Because this verse has to affect your tomorrow. You can't come face to face with this verse and not know that your life must be guided by it. It must affect you every day in every way. Must mean that you live with your eyes and ears open. Where is the need? Where is the hurt around about me? Means that you must live with your hearts and minds open. That we would see and sense the possibilities, where the doors of opportunities are, for us to live this life of good deeds to which we are called and which we have been created for in the first place. So let me be blunt. If you make it through tomorrow and you have not in some way or another served through a good deed, then are you really living out the life to which Christ has called us? This is the kind of Bible verse that you want tattooed on your forearm. This is the kind of Bible verse that you want laminated and stuck on your fridge. This is the kind of Bible verse you want memorized, so that it runs through your consciousness day after day. This is the kind of Bible verse that you want your friend to remind you about. We have been created for a life of good deeds. I'm sure Natasha was looking for what she might have considered to be a deeper answer. Maybe she would have turned around and said to Paul, "Oh no, I was meaning something more spiritual. Can you please give me a more spiritual answer to the question of why am I here?" Maybe she wanted something more mystical, something that you couldn't quite put your finger on. Isn't that the kind of faith that some folk love? Because there's no consequences to it. But it's not biblical faith. It's not the faith that Paul calls his early listeners to. And it's not the faith that is set out before us. Some kind of shapeless, amorphous, mystical business. Christian faith, folks, hits the ground. Christian faith is get your hands dirty faith. Christian faith is actually what you do in your life. Why am I here? Because God has created for me a life of good deeds. I hope that's something that all of us, I include myself in it, first and foremost, something that all of us can take very seriously. Because the truth is, if the people of Christ were mobilized in this way, the world would be a very different place. Let me finish by offering you a trailer to a course that we are going to run in the springtime of 2014. Some of you will be aware of the name Rick Warren. He is the senior pastor, senior minister at one of the world's biggest churches, certainly one of the biggest churches in the United States and California. Something like 25,000 people gathering on a Sunday. Their church produces lots of different resources, some of which are really restricted to their culture and context and are kind of very American. But other things that they produce are good and able and available to all of us. They have a course, and it's called What on Earth Am I Here For? I wish I could tell Natasha about it. It's a 6-week course. We're going to offer it in the spring. So if in some way or another you are in your life wondering about your purpose, your point, searching for an answer to that, then I warmly invite you to come to that course when we offer it in springtime. What on earth am I here for? Really the working out of what we have spoken about this morning. Let's pray.